I'll be 67 in a couple days, that the old body's not what it used to be, but we're still going. The battery doesn't always hold a charge. The brights don't always work. We run on dims. The paint is fading. The headliner's starting to droop. The heater is weak. The tranny slips now and then. The back tire's losing some air. And I've developed a wobble in the rear end, so I'm stopping right there. But we're still going. And we're going to keep going. It's not hard with this conference, is it? My heart's been touched. It's been convicted. It's been challenged. It's been encouraged. And I hope yours has as well. Two verses here for the first half of my message. I have 9 minutes, right? All right. Four words that have been reiterated over and over in this conference. One is people. One is patience. One is prayer. And one is praise. Not all of these have been given equal attention, but I wrote down a few of these before I came. And last night, I preached this sermon about 15 times in my sleep. I woke up, I thought it was Groundhog Day. It was rough. It really was. I said, I've got to get this sermon done. Anyway, but I'd like to leave these words: people, patience, prayer, and praise. Let me pray. Lord, I pray you give me some clarity of mind and heart, and may this be a help to every rural pastor who pastors way out in the country, feels like he might not have the prospects or the possibilities of those in bigger areas. But you love everybody in every area and every individual, and I pray that you would make this message clear this morning and be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 15, it says, verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And we are out in that area where we only feel like we have 10 coins. But that makes that one coin that much more precious. People are a little harder to come by. I was thinking about Brother Wynn. I think you have 10 million people in Mexico City? Over 25 million suburbs. The only thing we have 25 million of are cow patties out where I am. It is a little rough. I grew up in South Bend, Indiana, Church of 1,000. I went to Tennessee Temple my first year. I transferred to Hiles Anderson, both under mega churches. And then I moved to Lakeview. They had 8 people. God figured that's what I could handle. And he was right. But I didn't have anybody to run off. They'd all left. And the troublemakers. And one of my first messages was the troublemakers better stay away. Now that's some way to start a church, isn't it? I grew up soul winning where there were endless prospects. And I came to Lakeview. So I've been doing some prospecting ever since I got there. And God has given us some real gems. We've had to learn to value each and every individual person. And this was not easy to learn because I was used to looking at masses and looking for the masses, and I kept overlooking the individuals. I guess the question is, does God love country people as much as he loves those in the big city? Is the salvation of one soul less glorious than the salvation of 100? And I came to rural America, and, you know, many are poor. Every Sunday, I have a bus route. I picked it up 4 years ago because there wasn't any bus captain to take it, and I just couldn't leave those kids, so I took it. And I knew within 6 months, somebody'd say, preacher, I'll take that route. It's been 4 years now. And every Sunday morning, I start out and get my bus worker, and we go out, and the first stop is a little town called Six Lakes, and they've probably got 200 people in the town. And my first stop is Chantel. Now, in this house, there are a bunch of girls. I don't know how they're related yet. I found out that the two sisters, I thought, one's her aunt. So I have not figured it all out yet, but Chantel came. She's 10 years old. I've got about six or seven girls in my route between the ages of 6 to 10, and they are all crazier than a wet hen. Chantel yells every time she talks. That's the only way she knows how to talk. She's just a little slow. She opens the door. Hey, Vasa! Now, if that bothered you, you can just imagine how this is with Chantel. Chantel, are you coming tomorrow?
Are you having treats?
Yes, we're having treats.
Good. I'm coming. Bye.
Next morning, we drive around. We pick up the kids. Chantel's the first one, so we stop, and I'm zoned out on Sunday morning. I'm so tired. I'm on that route. We head out. We stop with a van. We stop. I'm zoned out thinking about other things. My worker goes and gets Chantel. She sits behind me, and she says,
"Hi, Pastor!"
And I just about came out of the seat. I mean, I don't know what world I was in, but I entered hers right then. Hi, Chantel. Chantel, can you be just a little quieter?
Okay!
Rural America's not like anywhere else. We don't have as many engineers. They're outnumbered by those who cannot read or write. Many are uncultured and unkept. But God loves them exactly the same as he loves the rich person who's extremely well-kept, has tremendous character. So I had to face this question, does Jesus love the poor as well as the rich? My dad was an aerospace engineer. My mom sold real estate. I moved to Lakeview, and I was in a different world. You know, there, a lot of folks are dysfunctional socially. You know, they don't know how to treat their neighbor. They don't have any. You know, it's tough. And I remember I was at pastor school one year, and I was sitting down here, and I was listening to one of the speakers, and he had his group there, and there's probably about 30 or 40 of them, and they were so sharp, you know, and they're, you know, you can tell they know how to deal with people, and they're great workers. I said, God, why don't you give me some people like that? I know that's terrible, isn't it? And it's like the Lord said to me, why don't you grow your own? Isn't that a novel idea? Why don't you grow your own? We can do this. And I went home with a different attitude, realizing that these people can be transformed. And we watched God transform people's lives. And we've watched people humbly respond to the preaching and become some of the finest Sunday school teachers and bus captains and school teachers and soul winners. The Fries are sitting out here. They're good friends. We worked together for about 9 years. And what a great family. God has given us some great jewels through the years. The Cunninghams, the Letterlows, the Coingas, the Olsons. There's so many. The Bensons, Zooks, just many people that just will do anything for you. I do not pastor in the land of misfit toys. But I found out that God wants to use us to love everybody. And if I could leave just one or two thoughts, it would be this. Number one, learn to love everybody individually, unconditionally, and without partiality. You never know who's going to do what, who's going to develop. You have no idea. You just love them all. And treat them all with respect. I get a little gal named Cheryl, and Cheryl's a new gal, and she comes Sunday morning. And she's been coming. And they said she's a little slow. but after every message, Pastor, that was the best message I've ever heard. I kept notes. I've got them right. She's got a perfect outline there of my notes. I'm going, wow, Cheryl, this is something else. And one Sunday morning, I was in a hurry, and every time Cheryl meets me, she wants to tell me a whole story, and I say, Cheryl, I've got to greet, and I've learned to treat her with respect. You ever wonder how God looks at us? Now, we look at the people that are educably slow. How does God look at us? Wow. I think the angels say, are they that dumb? Yeah, well, no, just don't worry about it. God says, I love them all. God, they say, you must. But I've watched God work in people's lives like Bruce Knapp. He left church about 15 years ago. It broke my heart. And he saw me in the bank about 2 years ago. He looked at me and he just stood there in the door looking at me. And it looked like he was going to cry. And he said, Pastor, come here. And I walked over. I said, hey, Bruce. He said, Pastor, I got to get back. I got to hear the truth. He's been back for 2 years. He's led both of his grown, two of his grown grandsons to Christ. Got such a burden for souls. Tremendous soul winner. And I'll close with this verse. James chapter 5. Never saw these verses like this before. It says in James chapter, here we go, James chapter 5. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. What's that talking about? And hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. I am convinced for those people whose hearts open to soul winning and evangelism and sharing the gospel that we are in the latter rain right now. And some folks say it's not raining, but it is. And I just challenge you. I never get discouraged if I'm leading somebody to Christ. If I'm staying after somebody, I'm always encouraged. But we've got to be a people that share the gospel. Thank you.